Hey, gang. Welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio. I'm your host, Patrick Slattery. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. And I will be taking calls today. It is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Now, today's Tuesday. Yesterday was Monday. Monday, I usually talk to Mark Colette. In fact, yesterday I did talk to Mark Colette. But instead of 1 p.m. Eastern time, I talked to him at 12 noon Eastern time, recorded a show. I was planning on, because I knew I had a travel conflict, I was planning on playing that show today. I'm going to play it later in the week. It's a good show. And I had, over the weekend, pre-recorded that show that I aired yesterday with Professor Sloan. I hope you all enjoyed that. But today I'm here, I'm live, and I will take callers. And, you know, we are living in interesting times, and that, I believe, was a Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. I don't know if it was interesting, but we are living in very, very important times. There's a lot going on. The Russia hoax, the General Flynn scandal, there's been revelations that among the topics General Flynn was discussing with Russian Ambassador Kirzliak, is that how you say his name? My Russian's not that good. But it was a UN resolution against Israel, and the United Nations Security Council regularly passes resolutions criticizing Israel. Israel regularly ignores them, and there's never any consequences. You know, if North Korea or Iraq, if they ignore resolutions which are purely political and not based on any actual international crime that was committed, there are consequences. Just sweeping economic sanctions or even invasion in the case of Iraq, invasion and the execution of the leadership. We've seen that repeated over and over, but there are resolutions passed against Israel in the General Assembly all the time, but even in the Security Council, there's resolutions against Israel because Israel's conduct is so much against international law. And typically, the United States will veto. Last year, President Obama, and I'm not going to say, I could say to his credit, he let a resolution pass by abstaining as opposed to voting against. And if one of the five permanent Security Council members vote against, then it becomes, in effect, a veto. The resolution's not allowed to pass. It can be 14-1 vote, but that one vote, if it's one of the five security permanent members, U.S., Russia, China, Britain, or France, then the resolution's defeated by that one vote. Flynn had been, apparently, among the other topics of discussion, he had spoken about to the Russian ambassador about these matters of Israeli interest, preventing this resolution from being passed, lobbying other countries like Malaysia, who were on the Security Council at the time, not veto-wielding permanent members, but still voting members, not to support the resolution. And Jared Kushner was behind that. And I am emphasizing among the topics discussed, I am sure that that Flynn and the Russian ambassador probably discussed ISIS, because why wouldn't they? Russia was defeating ISIS in Syria. Trump had said he wanted to defeat ISIS. Trump had said on the campaign trail, if Russia wants to help Syria beat ISIS, why should we stop them? Well, why should we? It's a good question, because that's what the Obama administration had been doing all along, including when Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was aiding ISIS. And did Flynn talk to the Russians about the sanctions that had been passed post-election by the Obama administration? I certainly hope he did. I'm sure he did. It was absolutely necessary. President Obama, the Obama administration, and I say President Obama, he's a figurehead, but in his, he didn't really have a foreign policy. He let the predominantly Jewish foreign policy establishment at the State Department and the Deep State and the Defense Department, he let them run with the foreign policy. But that foreign policy after the election was to accuse Russia of meddling, of hacking, because it wasn't even meddling back then. They were saying hacking, which implied to most people actually electronically hacking into voting machines and switching tallies in order to make Donald Trump the president, which of course was pure nonsense, never happened. And because it never happened, because it was proved it never happened, the word hack, they dropped the word hacking and adopted the word meddling. And of course, there's nothing illegal about meddling, you know. Was Scooby-Doo and the gang, were they criminal because they were meddling? They were meddling teenagers. And all of those bad guys would have gotten away for it if it wasn't for those meddling kids, right? Did Scooby-Doo do anything wrong? No. And the Russians did nothing wrong. If they meddled in the election, frankly, the Russians have very, very, very little influence in our election. It was a very close election. And if the tiny bit of influence that the Russians have in our elections, if that helped Donald Trump get elected president, I will be the first person to say thank you. Frankly, I think I probably had more to do with Donald Trump's election than the Russians, or Dr. Duke, or the alt-right. I think we, RBN, I think we had more to do with Donald Trump's election than Russia. I mean, didn't Hillary Clinton give a whole speech on the alt-right and white nationalism and all of this? It was such a close election. Basically, you could say anybody, anything that had any influence on the election then switched the election. You could say that. And it wouldn't necessarily even be wrong. But meddling is not a crime. Scooby-Doo and the gang are not criminals. And neither is the Russian ambassador, neither is General Flynn. He needed to talk to the ambassador, because those sanctions, which there was various aspects. One was kicking out 30-something diplomats and their families on New Year's Eve, which is the biggest family holiday in Russia. So could you imagine, for instance, expelling all the American families in Moscow, the diplomatic families in Moscow, in the middle of their Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas morning when the kids are trying to open their presents, and you kick them out and give them 24 hours to leave, which is what we did. We gave them 24 hours to leave. That was rude. That was a finger in the eye. But what was really dangerous was President Obama coming out and saying, yes, and we are going to retaliate. We are going to retaliate with a cyber attack at a time and place of our choosing. Where would that cyber attack be? Would that be on the Russian electrical grid? I mean, could be. Remember, these Ukrainian forces, or forces aligned with the Ukrainian government, attacked Crimean Peninsula, which is
administered by Russia. It's sovereign Russian territory, and it has a nuclear power plant, and they shut down the electrical grid, which took power away from hospitals and people on respirators. It took a power away from nuclear power plants, which could have caused another Chernobyl or Fukushima. Fortunately, it didn't, because the Russians were able to deal with it. But a cyber attack on Russia was announced. A future cyber attack was announced by President Obama. You needed to have somebody from the incoming administration go to the Russians and say, just don't overreact. There's a new sheriff coming to town, and we'll work things out. That was a heroic thing that General Flynn did. He shouldn't have lied to the FBI, but frankly, the FBI shouldn't be asking him questions about things that are merely embarrassing and not illegal. And did he even know he was being questioned by the FBI? There's questions there, too. There's doubts there. I'm not going to throw Flynn under the bus. I think General Flynn may feel that he might be facing long prison time, and maybe he's going to start pointing fingers at people. I don't want him to. I don't think this is really going to go all that far, frankly, because it's so ridiculous. I don't think this is the end of Trump by any means, because there's nothing there. There's nothing there. It was what I do worry about is we've got this situation, and it's not new, but we've got this situation where the FBI or a special counsel like Robert Mueller can investigate anything they want, can question people about anything, about activities that aren't illegal but are merely embarrassing. And then if they find that anything that was stated was not true, even if it was a mistake, then they can charge somebody with lying to the FBI, lying to federal investigators. This basically criminalizes anything that they want. And then they can charge Trump with obstruction of justice because of his tweets. Basically, if you have the laws such that anything people do in a typical day or in typical course of their life is bound to violate some sort of law, and then you can selectively pick and choose who you're going to prosecute, then there's absolutely no freedom. And this is really what there is. And I think anybody involved in business, any business person, probably knows this. There are so many government regulations. If you're in probably the restaurant business, if you're in trading business, if you have employees, and if you're in, there are so many regulations, and many regulations can't really be followed because they're unrealistic. And so you have somebody who's violating the law because it's unrealistic. I mean, even anybody who's a driver knows this. A lot of speed limits are unrealistic, and everybody's, you might have a speed limit that's 40 miles per hour, but everybody's going 60. Everybody's 55 or 60 because it's a limited access highway. But, for whatever reason, it's got an unrealistically low speed limit. And we know that they can selectively choose who to pull over. They'll pull over people without out-of-state licenses or whatever. I mean, there's a lot. This is a real problem when anything can be deemed a crime, and then they can selectively choose who to punish. And this is something that blacks have complained about. Of course, when you really get down to it, blacks' complaints and grievances are often based more on paranoia than reality, and either are they pulled over more by police when they're driving cars? Yes. Is that because the police are selectively enforcing laws? Well, probably sometimes, and probably much more of the time, it's because the blacks are violating laws, violating traffic laws more. We know with arrests, they get arrested more. Why? Because they commit more crime. But the principle is there. There is this principle that you have laws and you have regulations that everybody breaks, and then they can be enforced selectively. And this is what they're doing. They're trying to do with these investigations. And then on Stormfront Radio today, I brought up the case of the Ken Starr special prosecutor in the 1990s, Ken Starr, who was investigating Whitewater. And then because he had unlimited scope and unlimited budget, he just started investigating anything he wanted against President Clinton, who was a horrible president, who should have been impeached for a variety of things, but not for lying to Ken Starr about his sexual relationship with Monica Lewinsky. That was something that wasn't illegal, but it was embarrassing. You know, he was wasting taxpayer money, because I assume that they were both on the job at the time, on the job, so to speak. But nevertheless, he was asked about something that was embarrassing. He lied about it. Embarrassing, but not illegal. He lied. And we really should not be impeaching presidents over that, especially when there's so many real crimes that, I mean, that this we're talking about 1999. By that time, how many he had bombed Syria, he had bombed so many countries. There's plenty that you could have impeached President Clinton on without going to that. So that was ridiculous. Now we have a new special prosecutor who's just going around on a witch hunt and looking for anything, and in a situation where he can ask anybody about anything that would be potentially embarrassing. And in the context of December or January 2016, 2017, when the media, the fake news media, is making this big deal about Russian hacking, that was the word they used back then, hacking of the elections, and collusion, which of course is not a crime, but collusion between Trump and Vladimir Putin. Yeah, anything that comes out about a meeting is going to be embarrassing. He shouldn't have lied, because he did nothing wrong. But if he was misleading, if he was less than truthful, and now they're charging him with this, this is a great miscarriage of justice. Is it going to bring down President Trump? I don't think it's going to bring down President Trump, because the American people, I mean, there are people who watch CNN and MSNBC, hours per day, and they're going to get all excited. But most people are just so sick of this story, never really understood what it was about. And of course, you've got it's just not a big deal for most people. And although the Congress has no use for Trump, the Congress does have a use for their Republican constituents who vote for them. Do I hear the music coming up? I do.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio, and I am taking calls. And yes, that number is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. It had been my analysis last year and going into this year that President Trump was, I mean, he's obviously very much hated by the mainstream American Jewish power structure. They're trying to take him down. They want to impeach him or whatever. They want to get rid of him. Who knows? He could be assassinated, could be impeached, or he could just be emasculated, which is what's been working reasonably well so far. I mean, there's a danger there because he can, all this, if he's, as long as he's in the White House, who knows? I mean, he's in a position where he can do things. He has certain tools at his disposal. But so far, they've been pretty successful in keeping him hemmed in through the judiciary, striking down executive orders on immigration, through deep state, through this Robert Mueller special prosecutor. But what I was saying all along, and I think it's still my position, is that Trump was not trying to take on the entire Jewish power structure all at once. He was picking and choosing. Basically, he was going after the Zionist media, the fake media. It's a big deal. He's not calling them out for being Jewish, but he's going after the fake media, CNN, which is CNN is so Jewish and is so fake. He's been going after the media. He has been pursuing
two policies or trying to pursue two policies that are anathema to the American Jewish power establishment. First and foremost, immigration. Immigration, you know, Peter Bainart is a writer. Who does he write for? It's not The Nation. He writes for, maybe he writes for The Nation. He writes, he's a well-known writer, Peter Bainart. He's a Jew, I don't know if he was an immigrant or his first generation. He's a recent extraction here, but you can be a Jew who immigrated here in the 1990s, but you have the right to tell Americans, you know, what American values are. But Peter Bainart has said that the dirty little secret is that American Jews don't vote based on Israel. Sounds odd, doesn't it? But fact of the matter is they don't need to, because both sides, the Republicans and the Democrats, are going to be completely beholden to Israel. They are going to support Israel no matter what. Congressional elections, Congress people for sure. So they don't have to vote on Israel. Why would they have to vote based on Israel? I think what they vote on more than anything else is immigration. That they want a country without a white majority, because they don't feel comfortable where there's an ethnically cohesive majority that potentially could assert themselves and take power away from this small Jewish tribe that has usurped power in the United States and European countries, in Canada and Australia. That's number one, what they vote on. And Trump is going after immigration. We know that. We see him try. And he's may well be making some progress. DACA is probably dead. The DREAM Act is probably dead. The wall may well get built. We'll see about it. But he hasn't given up on these things. And then also, Also, in foreign policy, Russia. He wants to make friends with Russia, and he hasn't been very successful in establishing a friendly relationship. But tensions have come down from before he was inaugurated. Tensions are down. Russia was allowed to win the Syrian civil war without too much American interference. America did interfere. America did slow down the process. America did continue to aid ISIS, but not as much as they were during the Obama administration. And Russia has now gotten the situation under control. So Trump going after the media, going after immigration, and improving relations with Russia. Those are all things that are threats to the Jewish power structure. What was he giving up? He was giving up Israel. He's saying, "Okay, well, I'll be totally Zionist with Israel. Let's make a lot of noise about the Iran nuclear deal. Let's move the embassy even to Jerusalem, which is symbolic." And then he's played nice with Wall Street. We will be back to discuss this more after the break.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Is the National Bugle Radio. You are free to call in 1-800-313-9443, but if you don't call in, I've got plenty to talk about. We have some new news. I am seeing that Chris Cantwell, who's been in jail in Albemarle County, Virginia, which is Charlottesville, he's been in jail there for few months at least, that he will be released on bail, finally. What was his crime? He was in a scuffle at Charlottesville where he was with law-abiding protesters, rally participants, who had a permit for a rally in a park, and the police funneled the rally participants into a small area where they could be surrounded by violent Antifa and Black Lives Matter rioters who attacked them. And Chris Cantwell had a can of pepper spray and wielded the pepper spray at somebody who was attacking him. And he has already spent over 3 months in jail for that without bond. Now, people, the people on the other side, you had a DeAndre Harris and you had somebody else who was had a flamethrower and also violently attacked people. DeAndre Harris, who struck a older man over the head with a one of those, you know, big flashlights, which police use as clubs, and you don't need a flashlight at 12 noon
in August in Charlottesville. It was a club. He was released on bond. In fact, he was only arrested at all because one of the rally organizers had filed a complaint with a magistrate and got him to be at least would be called arraigned, but he was released on bail. We have Mike from Kentucky. Mike, welcome to the show.
Am I on?
You are on. What's on your mind, Mike?
I think it's kind of sad if, what would you call them, the Zionist establishment is unhappy with Trump because he seems to be, unless he's really being shrewd, he seems to be in support of just about whatever they want to do. I mean, as far as the Zionist aggressive influence operation, that's what's so silly is that everybody's all tore up about Russia, which has about the economy on a scale of Italy. Obviously, they've got better technology than Italy does, I guess, but the idea that they have anything beyond point 0.06% or something of the influence that Israel and Italy and England and several other foreign, if people in general are worried about their voice not being heard by the politicians in the District of Columbia, they should better look toward the big pharmaceutical syndicalism because they spend four times more lobbying the government than the military-industrial complex does. So, I mean, a lot of people worried about the military-industrial complex and whether or not the old cliche in the economics class, are we spending on guns or butter? You know, that's the old economics silliness that taught you in economics class for decades was the old guns versus butter thing. Are we spending money on defense or are we spending money on feeding people? And
I think you heard my director in the background. A lot of people are very disappointed.
I thought that would be your floor director there.
Yeah, he's my floor director. That's right. So a lot of people are dismayed, disappointed, disillusioned with President Trump because of some of these things you're talking about, regarding, say, Jewish influence in his administration. And you do have Jared Kushner there. You have Gary Cohn. You've got Steven Mnuchin, all in very...
Well, I would like to correct you there. I'm not talking Jewish influence. I'm talking Zionist dual citizens that are really... of the crowd that says the goy will work for them and that basically the U.S. is the bulldog that they have on a chain serving their interests, not the interests of the American people or even really American interests. They even go so far as to say that American Jewish interests are American interests.
Well, that's the 51st state. That's how they frame it. That's how the media frames it. And, a lot of people see eye to eye with you. What I am saying is that I think Trump is taking on the Jewish establishment, but not in a full front way, not in a full frontal way that, and I think you'd agree with me that immigration, massive open borders immigration to the United States is a very high priority on this Zionist Jewish agenda.
Well, it's because it's genocide. It's genocide is what they're talking about, cultural genocide on Americans, not just white America, but as the Numbers USA guy puts it in his videos, anybody that lives here has an interest in this issue. If you're here legally, and you're a citizen in the United States, you have an interest in this. It's not against minorities. It's not against any particular ethnic group or religion because what the scale of the situation is, most people can't imagine. It's all in and people in sales will tell you this. It's all about emotion. It's all about feelings. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to sell something, it's not about the numbers. It's not about logic. It's not about reasoning. I mean, that's how people fall for this stupid stuff like these Hatchables. That people are paying $60 for something that's probably made for 50 cents by people that's living in a horrible conditions in a factory somewhere in the Philippines. These Hatchables are all the rage, and everybody's got to have one for 60-some dollars. That's crazy. Oh. I'd like to find, if anybody's got one out there, it's made out of Kevlar that will convert to a toboggan. You know,
okay,
I think that...
I'm not familiar with the Hatchables. I'll keep my eye on
them. It's a toy. It's like this little fur ball that you unfold it, and it folds into a furry animal. You know, and the people are spending crazy amounts of money on something that, you know, like, you remember T.Y. Beanie Babies? You know, that was made for pennies over there in China, and people were paying $20 a piece.
Well, the point I was trying to make is that... So the immigration is really, really, really high on their list, and I think it's pretty clear that President Trump has been trying to make progress on immigration. Whether he's going to be very adept at it, whether he's going to be skillful at it, I certainly think the intent is there. He's trying to make progress on certain aspects of foreign policy, like avoiding war with Russia. Like not secretly supporting ISIS, but that, and this is my contention, that he feels that he can't take on the Zionist Jewish agenda all at once, and so he is being friendly with the super pro Israel, the people who want to move the embassy to Jerusalem, and he is making friendly with the Wall Street Jews.
Well, he has to be, because America is conditioned that anybody that goes against Israel is going to curse this country.
Right.
That's the conditioning.
If he had a full, an all-fronts battle against the Zionist power, he would probably be impeached promptly. So, I think there's a strategy behind what he's doing.
Yeah, he's being on the sly. If he is, he's being on the sly.
Excuse me?
He's doing it on the sly. If he is. But I don't know that he is. I think he's got other priorities. Like you say, he's more interested in bringing jobs back. He's more interested in strengthening America's infrastructure, because these are basic things of the economy that's going to allow America to continue forward with whatever.
And also allow him to continue to be president. Gives him insulation against impeachment and perhaps towards a re-election.
Well, I do worry about the stock market being a huge bubble about to burst, you know, because it's propped up with does it have real value? You know, is there real value there? I mean, with all that inflated stock prices. But what I was getting at with the scale of the immigration problem is, I don't think a lot of people don't realize they work on their feelings. Oh, we have to help these poor people.
And we
can't help a lot of populations around the world by taking out the best and brightest that might help those that are left in those countries. A lot of people just don't have the technical savvy, the cultural knowledge, the ability to drive a car. I mean, they don't have the ability to live in a first world country without a lot of support, and that is a burden on the economy. It's not helping. And then if you take the best and brightest and the healthiest people out of these other countries, you are harming that society, because they are the ones that might actually improve the conditions there. So, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that Numbers USA guy talks about. 7 years ago, he brought out these videos, you know, on immigration out of control, or immigration off the charts.
Does he use the jelly beans or the little balls in a
gumballs? He used gumballs. Each gumball represents 1 million people, and that really helps a lot of people. They edited the video.
I would certainly recommend those videos. So, what is the name of his YouTube
Numbers
channel?
USA. Numbers USA. Yeah, and the gumballs video has been redone. The old one is kind of boring. The new one is much more better edited. And you can see people in the audience just squirming, because they can't, they don't want to accept what he's showing them.
And
he does set up a straw man. He sets up a straw man of saying, you know, the generic elites are for bringing in, you know, The elites say we can help world poverty by fostering immigration. That's false. I mean, I don't know what elites are doing saying that, but people don't understand. He just does that to try to get you into the scale of the problem, which is that, you know, we're headed towards 600 million people in this country in very short order unless we do something about it. And unless we get young people interested in bringing forth new generations of native-born Americans that have an interest here because they're born here, you know, we're headed toward population collapse. I think in Spain they're trying to do incentives to get young people to start families, economic incentives. The imams are pushing for basically, just like they have for 1,400 years, womb as a weapon tactics, where the, you know, this stuff about rape refugees in Europe is true. They're going in and they actually want to outbreed the culture of Europe.
And one of the problems with pro-natalist policies aimed at increasing the birth rate in Europe, is that if you've got a substantial Muslim minority already there, they can take advantage of those policies.
Yeah.
And it can wind up backfiring by further subsidizing their demographic weapon, their you know, womb weapon.
I know an older fellow who's getting along in years who was, I think, must have been forced to work for the FBI because he was on the outskirts of some organized crime, and he ended up being the bag man, carrying money to informants. And I'm shocked to find out that there's literally hundreds of mosques in a Midwestern state that he was the bag man for, carrying money to the network of informants in the early 1960s. They have been watching these Muslims for a very long time, and we have either wasted a lot of money on this, or it's been engineered to what's going on in this country. It's either being engineered, or we've wasted a huge amount of money. And, you know, they like to hide behind government incompetence a lot. But they've been watching these groups of Muslims that are in this country for literally 60 years, probably, with networks of informants that are being paid for their information.
Yeah, and probably 60 years ago, a lot of the Muslims were informants. They were probably Nation of Islam. But nowadays, you would have a lot of these Muslims from outside the United States. Well, Mike, I really appreciate your call. I hope you call back again. I'm going to go on to the next caller while I still have some time. Hey, thanks for your call. Okay, next we will go to David from San Francisco. David, welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, thanks. You know, I was spurred to call listening to him talking about that movie. There, I'd agree and I'd disagree with him. The part I'd agree was that it was engineered. It's pretty clear that, you know, the worst aspects of Islam are created by this creepy sect called Wahhabism, and that's specifically from Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. And that form of Islam is in order to whip the slaves into line. So if Saudi Arabia is run by some of the most tyrannical kings and princes, they have to keep those slaves in line, and so that version of Islam is the one that gets the most press, and Wahhabism is the one that usually is kind of tied to the CIA and tied to the... If you study the first World Trade Center bombing in 1993, it was set up... the FBI gave these so-called terrorists the truck bomb. They actually gave them a live bomb rather than a phony bomb, and it was only by dumb luck that they parked it in the wrong spot. But it's pretty clear that they were trying to raid the gold vaults in the basement of the World Trade Center. And by doing that, that was the International Monetary Fund's Fort Knox, underneath the World Trade Center. And so when the
that's something I don't know about, but you're saying that there was a lot of gold stored at the bottom of the World Trade Center, and that it was International Monetary Fund gold.
Yeah, absolutely. There's an FBI whistleblower named Frederick Whitehurst, And Frederick, he spells it ending in a C, not with a K. So Frederick Whitehurst, FBI whistleblower. And if you look at his testimony in the World Trade Center, I think that was the blind shake. And he testified in that case, and he believed that there were dirty FBI agents that were involved in people who wanted to raid that gold.
Okay.
I hear that music coming up.
Yeah, and would you like to, if you have anything else you'd like to talk about, just stay on until after the break.
Well, thanks.
Okay.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
And welcome back to the show. Okay, so David, do you have any other information for our listeners?
Well, yeah, like I say, if you study Frederick Whitehurst, he's got a bunch of speeches, I think, are on YouTube, and his testimony in the Blind Shake, that you can read that. I think there's a PDF file that has the exact breakdown. But he really believed that he got into the FBI lab. That's where he worked, and discovered that there was intentional ruination of evidence, that thousands, tens of thousands of people were being put into prison falsely based upon false evidence coming through the FBI labs. And so he sued the FBI, he won, and they settled by giving him a like a million or few dollars to be able to create a nonprofit that helps release innocent people. And I've forgotten the name of that organization, but it still exists. It might be called the Innocence Project. And but the other thing, the part that I disagreed with that previous caller, there's a book that came out about the turn of the century called Food First, Beyond the Myth of Scarcity. And it describes basically that when the super rich realized, I don't know if you know it, but back in 1972, Richard Nixon basically emptied Fort Knox. And so the people of the world needed to have some hedge against inflation that was going to happen with all of this paper money. And they started buying up the highest quality agricultural land in the world. And this book, Food First, gives an example of how all of the starvation in Bangladesh happened. Was all of the finest land in India and Bangladesh were bought up by the super rich, and they kicked all of the farmers off the land. They were forced to go down to the poor end of the nation, and they were starving down there, even though that part of the country, Bangladesh in itself, was enormously, the rivers were filled with fish. It's a bountiful land, and the super rich own it, and they intentionally keep prices high. So with supply and demand of food, they're basically burning food. And that book goes into this whole discussion of where refugees are coming from, and it's totally, you know, these are educated farmers who were handling that land who were kicked off the land. So the earth can deal with the bounty and keeping people fed and whatnot. In fact, there's a Mark Twain wrote about.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, there's a limit to anything, and yeah, you do have some regions of the world, Africa in particular, but also the Muslim world.
Africa is a great example, because King Leopold, there were 15 million people living in prosperity when King Leopold came in. By the time he had chopped off hands and murdered better than half of the population, they were living in starvation. And so Zaire is that basic land area. It used to be called the Belgian Congo. He basically did so much to ruin that country that, you know, whether over-mining it, over-grazing it, all sorts of different agricultural processes. Yeah, well,
I mean, living in prosperity, in maybe in African terms, their population at the end of this century is going to be, it's projected to be in the hundreds of millions. But yeah.
That's Zaire. Zaire specifically was down to 7 million living in starvation, where 15 million were living in prosperity.
Right.
So the super rich can ruin the lives of everyone.
Okay. Well, I'd love for you to call back again sometime. We can get into the demographics of Africa and other places, and, you know, the food issues and everything.
Sure.
Our time for today is up. We will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.